We've been going over the issues of hindrance to our sonship growth, hindrance to our sanctification, hindrance to our being what God wants us to be, and that is being conformed to the image of His Son. And there's hindrances, and some people would think that what's the difference? Wouldn't all the hindrances be bottled up in one aspect? Wouldn't it just be Satan's design? Well, that's not altogether true. That's part of the issue. The first thing is we have to understand, that's what we went over in the past few weeks. You have to understand the awareness to this world's carnal ways. We have to understand the awareness to this world's carnal system that we can fall victim to, that we can find ourselves being actually not seeing the need for justification. And I'm talking about before we become justified. You know, that's right off the bat there. You know, you're looking at things and you're thinking that you're holy because, you know, you do things pretty upstanding and you treat everyone fair. You give to charity. You do all the things that this world says are great things. And by that, you can say, I feel I'm at right with God. I'm in a good standing with Him. He's going to judge me and say, hey, you lived a pretty good life. And in turn will cause ones to live by that and become not justified. That's one of the first attacks and one of the first things that can hinder the soul of someone. But once you become justified, Satan ramps up his plan of evil against you. Because now you have to worry about, you have to understand there's other things that is going to attack your sanctification. And those things is, Paul spells out for us in Romans chapter 6 when going over the doctrine of our sanctification, in Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. And again, once we become justified, we can't fall victim to this world's carnal ways. And that being said, I'm going to take a look at some of the doctrines that has to do with that also, what Paul says that we cannot fall victim to. Because what we've been looking at the prior weeks, we've been just looking at what's the attack that this world has against us, what's out there, being aware to the ploys and the things that, like we've seen with the Corinthians. The Corinthians, they were willing to go along with this world system. And then another thing, what we're looking at today, we're looking at how we can cooperate with these things, how we can be our own worst enemy, which some need to understand that's the case with most of us. We can be our own worst enemy. And we're going to look at some of those things that spell that out there. And then, finally, next week, we're going to look at Satan's plan, the why he wants to hinder your growth, why it's a necessity to him to not have you to be who God has called you to be. And these are the things we're going to look at. So without further ado, let's turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to take a look at the first couple of things that we can do to hinder our own sonship growth and our sanctification education from properly getting itself underway, or to stall it, or to make it where it just doesn't get off the ground at all. Because we throw in the towel. We willingly throw in the towel. So Romans chapter 6, let's look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, we went over this doctrine before, and there's no need to go into the context or more verses. I'm just going to give us the actual verses at hand there. And you see what Paul says here, we should not serve sin. Now that's the first thing that comes up, because what we could end up doing is we could end up allowing ourselves to serve sin, to actually be its whipping boy, if you want to call it that. We can allow sin to just have us, and we can just, instead of serving God, we serve sin. And this is why, actually the whole doctrine of serving sin versus serving God is not actually gone into yet. It's going to be gone into later on, verses 15 on. But he's just giving you the gist of it here, because he's explaining to you that the body is dead. The body of sin might be destroyed. The reason is that we should not serve sin. And this is what we have to keep in mind. And this is the first attack. And the first thing that we could find ourselves doing is allowing ourselves to serve sin. And the next thing, let's come down to verse 12. Well, let's take verse 11 here. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, what's being said here is that you're not going to allow yourselves to be alive unto God if you're not allowing yourself to be dead unto sin. But the whole aspect there is when you allow sin to reign in your mortal body. See, how you can take sin and not allow it to reign is by you understanding that you have to reckon yourselves to be indeed dead unto sin. When you can count that to be true, then you can function alive unto God. You can make it where sin does not reign in your mortal body. And if sin doesn't reign in your mortal body, you should automatically think, well, if sin's not reigning, then that must mean that the word of God is reigning in my mortal body. So, but to get to the point here, reigning, not allowing sin to reign in our mortal bodies, is another way that we can not allow ourselves to be hindered by ourselves. And that's how we do it. We allow sin to reign. And the difference between allowing sin to reign and serving sin is, you know, you can serve something, but that doesn't mean that it controls you. You know, you can serve something on a basis where you don't give all of your, it doesn't have all of you yet. But when something reigns over you, it controls you. And this is what we can allow sin to do. This is how we can allow our sanctified lives to be damaged, is by this fact here. Now, another thing, and let's go over to the other issue here, because that's a very big issue there, because we can allow sin to reign and make it whereas we won't be able to do the next thing, which is bringing forth fruit unto God. But well, let's just come to the verse at hand here. While you're in chapter 6, come down to verse 20. Chapter 6, and let's look at verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, this is what Paul's going to say here, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, you become servants to God, and ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now I'm going to stop there. Now you see what Paul talks about, that fruit, the purpose of of serving God and not serving sin is so you can bring forth fruit unto God, not bring forth fruit unto death. Because again, now when you bring forth, not only are you serving sin, but you're actually working together with sin now. When you bring forth fruit, you're not only serving sin and letting sin reign in you, reign over you, when you're allowing sin to reign over you, you're giving unto it, and you're bringing forth fruit. You're actually helping to propagate. You're helping to produce something for sin. You become an instrument, as we see Paul uses the terminology there. You become something that sin can use. So this is the third way we can actually hinder ourselves, our sonship growth and our sanctified lives from getting itself underway and or putting it to death, putting it to functional death. When we allow ourselves to bring forth fruit unto death. And that comes from many, many type of ways, folks. That comes from many, many type of ways. And we're going to go into some of those things a little bit later on here. But another thing, another way we can allow ourselves, excuse me, come over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at another way. Romans chapter 8, and let's take a look at verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, in looking at this here, we can allow ourselves to be either led by the Spirit of God or evidently led by the spirit of this world. And as you see here, when it talks about in verse 11 that Jesus Christ quickened our mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in us, that's the focus there. God didn't just raise you, he just didn't justify you so you can go to heaven. He justified you so you can be quickened. So you can have a quickening. It's not just being bringing forth life. It's bringing forth life with a purpose, with an objective, with a means to fit his objective. And we're taught that we are to be led by the Spirit. But we can hinder our own selves when we allow ourselves not to be led by the Spirit, but to be led around by the nose of this world. And do things this world's way and not follow the doctrine. And what I mean by that is most people will just, and I'm talking about churchgoers. I'm even talking about ones in the body of Christ. They can come along and assume that God is doing something based upon something that they heard, something that they were brought up in their old church, even their own home, maybe the way their father taught them or mother taught them based upon God's word, you know, superstitious things. You know, we've heard them before. We've heard all the things, you know, God doesn't like ugly or, you know, all these different things, cliches and everything else we could be led by instead of allowing ourselves to be led by what God's word says. And again, I say this all the time. If it's not in God's word, don't do it. If you didn't read it for yourselves in God's word, don't say it. you know, we can allow ourselves to hear other people, friends, family, coworkers. We can allow ourselves to be led by their thinking, led by what they say, led by their deeds and things like that. We can allow ourselves to be influenced, and that becomes doctrine. That becomes law unto us. We're taught to be led by the Spirit, God's Word, in everything we do. Because if we don't, we're going to fall victim to what man has for us in his way of sanctified living, his way of godliness, his way of the pursuit of holiness. And that's not the way we're taught to be led. We're taught to be led by God's Word and his Word alone. Now let's take a look at some of these aspects here. And anytime you can want to understand what's right, what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong, to gauge yourself on a godly scale, so to speak, just go read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the book of Galatians. Look at some of the things that they were involved with. And you can see how we ought not to be doing what this world does, because to see how God looked upon it. Because you know what? We don't think that we are being led by this world. Nobody does. You know, but especially when it comes to the sufferings of this present time, prayer, understanding God's will and purpose for us, all these things, we assume that God works the way this world teaches us. And we know 100% that we never read these things that they teach us in his word. Now, let's go look at this. Let's go look at this here. The 1 Corinthians, it's from the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 29. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And what we're going to see is what the Corinthians got caught up in. They got caught up in vain glory. They got caught up in men glorying in men. They got caught up in people, one's glorying in themselves. And we see a lot of that today. And I'm going to go through this whole issue here. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 29. That no flesh should glory in its presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, Paul has to tell you this for a reason. Paul has to tell you this for a reason because these people were going about, and we see in verse 12, they were saying, I am of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul, I'm of Christ, you know, they were glorying in men. They were saying, oh, Paul came and talked to you? Well, Peter, which was one of the 12, he came and talked to me. But then you have Apollos. You had different groups. You had divisions going on there, and people were starting to speak different things. And they were doing what God would not have them to do. They were not being one body, but they were being divided. And what was causing this division and ignorance was vain glory. Now let's take another look at that. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 4. Let's come down to verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And this is what was happening there. Paul was comparing his preaching by other men. He was comparing God's wisdom by man's wisdom. And he was showing that the power, the actual power, is in God's word. And that their faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You notice even he says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the wisdom of God. He didn't say that there. What he wanted to show them was the power. He used the wisdom of God over there in verse 24, but he wants to show that power that he said over there in verse 18, that we're saved by the power of God, and he wanted to put that on display. He wanted to explain to these Corinthians that if you want to glory in something, this is, look at the power of God. This is what you should be glorying in, not in man's wisdom or just men's speech, the way they're proclaiming themselves, professing themselves to be. Now let's come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who is then Paul? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. And, I'm going to point out something here. You notice in verse 6, Paul says, I have planted and Apollos watered. You notice he didn't say, I have planted and Apollos and Peter watered. He didn't say that because two different dispensations. It wasn't, now Peter came and got him justified. That's what he just said there. Who was Paul and who was Apollos, but ministers of who you believe? Justification. And also, Cephas came and talked to them. Cephas also came in and talked with these guys. But because he didn't say anything about Cephas here, it's a different dispensation. And Apollos, whether Apollos is watering or Apollos planted and Paul is watering, it's still under one same dispensation there. But didn't want to stir up course there. But you notice what's being said here? He's explaining that they're carnal. He can't feed them with meat because there are divisions among them. There's strifes. There's envying. And this is all brought on by the Corinthians themselves. This is because they are glorying in themselves. This is because they're, this doesn't have anything to do with the world, them chasing anything of the world, or them being, going through any sufferings, or that this world has for them. This is because they are wanting to puff themselves up. They want to glory in something. And as you see here, they're glorying in each other and themselves. Now, let's come over to, while we're in chapter 3 here, let's come over to verse 20. Come over to verse 20. Let's take a look at what that says. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Now, what Paul is saying here, Paul is explaining to them when he says all things are yours. Well, the first thing I want to point out here is they were glorying in men. And they were doing that vain, and Paul later calls that vain glory. And what you're doing, you know, we're taught we can glory, but we're taught to glory in the Lord. Paul's not telling them to not glory. He's telling them, don't do it in vain. And doing it in vain is doing it when you're glorying not in God, but glorying in men and yourselves. And then Paul is explaining to them, he's saying, whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And the reason why he's saying all are yours is because, you know, you have to understand, you have to, the way when you judge things, and he's going to go and tell these saints about this in chapter 6 about judging. And when they judge things, they're to know you can use all things without abusing it. You can use all things in a godly manner. And what I mean by all things, or what Paul is saying, all things are yours, these are all things of God. Not the things of this world, the carnal things of this world, but the things that pertain to this world that are spiritual. And that would be some of the things he's explained here. Of the apostles there, he says life, death, and you can utilize both of those things in a godly manner. The things of this world can be utilized, the things we do on a daily basis. We need to do these things in a daily, in a godly manner. But I don't want to spend too much time with that there. Let's come to let's go to 2 Corinthians now. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, and let's look at chapter 4. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Okay, now let's stop there. When you see that there, you're looking at, Paul is saying that if his gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine upon them, which is the image of God should shine upon them. Now, again, how can the God of this world, Satan, blind the minds of people? Well, we know that they can be victimized when it comes to the justification, that they can be led astray into believing something else. But you can allow your own self to fall victim to having your own mind blinded. And the way this happens is, you know, we can end up hindering ourselves with that vain glory, okay? We can allow ourselves to glory in ourselves, or we can glory in other men. We can be blinded by our light, or we can be blinded by their own light. And we can be blinded by their own light in a lot of times, in more often cases than we can be blinded by our own light. Well, we won't take in anything else. We won't take in anything else, which is being high-minded. We won't take anything else because we feel, man, we got it. I got it already. You know, there's nothing else of anything, of any worth for me to be learned. I got it all. I've learned all I can learn. One thing that happens to us when we become justified and sanctified, and with most cases, with not most cases, but when we understand the word rightly divided, we can end up thinking that because we were shown the light of right division, and we were brought out of darkness in that old denomination system that we belong to, we can say,
oh, man, this light is so bright. I'm really zealous about getting this education, and I'm real zealous to understand about spiritual gifts or understand about baptism or understand about not tithing. And you get so involved in that light that when that starts to dim and flicker out a little more, you can say, well, what else is there? Is there any, and you can allow yourself to be blinded based upon the idea that, well, what else is there to learn? I mean, I don't have the same zeal as I used to have. And we're going to see that. We're going to see that all of these, this type of thing here is a product of being led by, not being led by the Spirit of God, but being led by this world. And we can allow ourselves to allow other men to lead us. We can allow ourselves to not only allow other men to lead us, but will we glory in these other men? And what I mean by that is, have a man lead you based upon good words, fair speeches, and not out of every word that cometh from the living God, from the living words on the Bible that we have in front of us. We have to allow ourselves not to be victimized by that. Because we can allow men, we can just allow men to have us do anything that he wills. And what I mean by we can become his servant. You know, now let's come, now while we're here in 2 Corinthians, let's come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter, actually 2 Corinthians chapter, while we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's come to verse 7. Sorry about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Now, looking at this, Paul is explaining to you about that excellency of the power. And he's explaining that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He's saying that it's not about us, it's about God. And that's the way our thinking ought to be. Our thinking ought to be that we want to put the excellency of power on display. But if we glory in ourselves, it will always be about us. It will always be about what we think. But look at what Paul says happens here. And how our thinking ought to be. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. How are we doing that? How are we always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus? Well, all you have to know is that When you're carrying that around, this is something that's reigning within you. This is something that's resident within you, where you now keep this in your mind. This is your mind full. Your mind is full of this. And you have, like it says here, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's what we're doing. That's how we live our functional life. We're always carrying about or bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus with us, so we can make the life also of Jesus be made manifest in our body. And verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death. What he's saying is we which functionally live, we which functionally live, which actually not just a justified one in Christ that don't want to suffer, but ones that actually live that functional life, sanctify life the way God intends, they are always delivered unto death. Like he said, not always, all way. That's all the way. When you see all way in God's word, that means all the way. Delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, not our sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And you see how that works? He says, verse 12, so then, this is what you should think about it. So seeing death work is in us, but life in you, functional life, it works for you. But again, if you're glorying within yourself or glorying in men, you won't have this thinking. Now, let's come down a couple verses here. Let's come down to verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sake. Now you see Paul says that again, the all things here. Those all things is the all things that God has already done for us through Christ. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now you see the glory there? It's about the glory of God, not of what he has said before in the prior three chapters. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, which worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of what? Glory. That's the glory we ought to glory in right there. That's where we ought to be placing glory onto God and to the glory which shall be revealed in us. This is going to be a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Not just glory, but far more exceeding. And you can't get any better glory than that. Can't get any better glory than that. Now let's come over to Second Timothy, and let's look at chapter 2. And we're going to look at some of these different aspects here of what we can allow ourselves to fall victim to, some of the damaging effects that we can allow ourselves to fall victim to. And, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's look at verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, you notice they say, you know how Paul says here at the end of 26, who are taken captive by him at his will. And what he means by that is, you know, they're not just, like he puts a noose around their neck and he takes them as slaves or anything. No. Because of his will, because of the things he has working on this earth here, the course of this world, these people are taken captive. They belong to him. They're given over to him. They're
They're being led by him. And these are people that pose themselves. Some people, and we know ourselves, when you talk to people, you can talk to some people that have been in church all their lives, but you can't talk to them. You can't get through to them. And even if they are justified, when you try to talk with them, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it because they feel that they have a pastor teacher who knows it all. And they're like, well, how can you tell me? And this is the biggest thing that we can end up doing. We can end up allowing ourselves to not use our own minds. We can allow ourselves to let someone else use our mind for us. And a lot of times, the only time we open up our Bibles is when someone says, turn your Bibles to chapter so-and-so. And that should not be the case. See, a lot of times we feel that we cannot open up the Bible and understand it for ourselves. Now, this Bible wasn't written for pastor teacher only. This Bible was written for men, women, boys, and girls that want to understand God's will and want to be sanctified saints in Christ. And we have this Bible in English to us today, whereas we can come to understand this. And oftentimes, when we look at the overall perspective of this, we're going to go over a couple more verses here. When we look at the overall perspective, we can find ourselves looking at things like the Corinthians or Galatians, where we can say, yeah, you know, I'm justified, but I don't think I'm ready to put this world down yet. I mean, maybe I'm going to have a New Year's Eve resolution. I'm going to, starting January 1st, I'm going to read my Bible so many times, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to start going to church, or I'm going to start, you know. And we can end up doing that. And we can end up saying, you know what? Hey, why should I do it at all? Why should I even give any thought to this? You know, and we can allow the pastor to be high-minded with us and allow him to put us under the tutor and governor situation like we looked at, where we think that we have to come to him to get God's word, or we won't be able to understand it ourselves. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with getting enlightenment and things of that nature, or education in God's word. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones who believe a doctrine that they have not searched out themselves to see if these things be so. I'm talking about the ones that attend church, whereas they don't even know why they believe what they believe. If you ask them, well, what did you learn today? You know, they can tell you about the entertainment section. They can tell you what songs were sung or who gave testimony or who gave how much. But this is what we need to not fall victim to, because we can allow ourselves, again, to oppose ourselves, to be our own worst enemy, being one that would be a hindrance to us, because we feel this world, we just don't want to put these things down yet, that this world is far enticing to us, than what God is offering us. And that's the bottom line. We want these things of this world more than our father's education. But we have to think about something. We're only on this earth for 50, 60, 70 years, 80 years, whatever the case. And we live this in this lifetime that we have down here, for this short amount of time, even though it might seem a long time to us, we're going to be somewhere in another life for eternity. And the ones justified, we're going to be in life everlasting, bringing forth eternal glory. We're going to be living in our life, but we don't look at that as a reality because we're not living there yet. Even though we are seated in heavenly places, we are raised up together with him. That is a purchased possession that we have. But we don't actually physically put our eyes on that. And we don't actually see that as such. So we find ourselves ones who tend to say, well, I'm going to look what I see. And we have to understand, when we do this, we become our own worst enemy when we look upon things in that light and not the light that God wants us to look at things, the way he wants us to view things. Now, in 2 Timothy, let's come to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's just look at verse 1 here. Might as well read all the way down. Verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now, when you see that, what I'm after is verses 6 and 7. And it talks about these men, these pastor teacher men, coming in and, as it says here, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And when you ever get the chance, look at Romans chapter 1, the end of Romans chapter 1, whenever you get the chance, and look at this same list of things is in Romans chapter 1. But it talks about unbelievers. Now you're looking at the same list here, talking about men who are having the form of godliness. It's talking about how this world is getting. It's talking about how this world in the name of God is getting, in the name of godliness. But Paul is saying, but they're denying that power that we saw over there in 1 Corinthians, thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they, which creep into the house to lead captive. Notice the lead, and watch, you're going to say led away. And these people aren't being led by the Spirit. That's why they're led here, led there. They're tossed to and fro. It says, for this sort of they, which creep into the house to lead captive silly women, laden with sins. In other words, they're still in their sins. Never able, led away with divers lusts. That means they're led away with different type of lusts. And what can those lusts be? Those are going to be things that cater to the flesh. Things like health, wealth, relationship, those type of things. Ever learning, always learning. That's what Satan wants you to do. He doesn't want you to put your Bible down. He wants you to always be picking that Bible up and always being confused. He wants to, because as long as you're picking that Bible up, he has a 99% chance that everyone that's picking their Bible up is confused about God's word. And he knows that. He knows based upon the heart of man. He knows that man wants to go after a different denomination. A man wants to create his own denomination. He knows a man wants to be a pastor. He knows a woman wants to be a pastor. He knows that everything that people want to go and make, let us make a name for ourselves and come up with another denomination. So Satan knows the confusion that's out here. That the only way he can cause more confusion is to get you ever learning, but never able to come into the knowledge of this, of the truth. And what he's done to blind the minds of people is keep the mystery a mystery amongst this world. And what Paul is saying here, these people are being their own worst enemy. Even though these people are, in the cases here, whether they're justified or not, he's explaining that these people here are, they're never able to come into knowledge of the truth. Why? Because what they're doing, they're led by this man. They're allowing themselves to be led by someone. They're allowing this, they're placing their trust in this person. Now, let's come over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to close here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Okay, now Paul is talking about a time. At this time here, this is when the rapture is going to come. People ask, when is the rapture coming? When is the rapture coming? Well, we don't know the exact date. But what we do know is we're told here that this is when this is going to happen. Now, you can tell by looking at verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now, he's talking about two things here. When he's going to appear unto us at the rapture and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come. What time? The time he just talked about. Now, you know he's not talking about the last days that we're currently living in, because he talks about that in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1, he says, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. What he's talking about is when the Lord Jesus comes back. What's going to bring that in? And what's going to bring that in is what you see today. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers. And this is what we see all day today. We've seen it 100 years ago, but today you're seeing it rampant, so rampant, where it's getting to a point where it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, they're going to endure some doctrine, but it's not going to be sound doctrine. And he's going to say the contrary. But after their own lusts, in other words, after what they want, when people go to church, when people go and say, oh, there's a new place opening up there, a new church building. They're building, it's a four-story building, a 25,000 square feet building. People get excited to go into that place, based upon the entertainment that they're going to hear. Based upon, they might be on TV, they could get their own cameo shot on TV. Based upon the fact that they say, hey, I belong to that place over there. Everything other than becoming the justification of the soul and understanding God's will and being edified as a member of the church of body of Christ, where they can be put to use and be conformed to the image of his son. That's not on their minds. And look at what it says here. They shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. In other words, they don't want to hear it. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They should turn ears away from the truth. Meaning, if they hear the truth, they're not even going to want to take it in to even figure out if it is the truth. And we see this all day, folks. When you minister unto people, you see the response you get when you give them this message of grace here. And they should be turned onto fables. And this is what we see again, but this is based upon people blinding their own minds, people not enduring sound doctrine, what they hear, people being their own worst enemy because they have itching ears because of their own lusts. They turn their ears away from the truth because it doesn't sound attractive as fables sound to them. And this is what we see that runs rampant on a daily basis, folks, on a daily basis. But we got to be ones that do not oppose our own selves. We have to be ones that are led by the Spirit of God. And we have to take a step back and look in the mirror and say, am I opposing my own self? Am I the one that's stopping my sanctification life from getting itself properly underway? Can I be allowing another man to think for me or utilize my mind for myself? Or am I allowing this world to think for me, being led by what this world says is godly godliness or holiness? These are the things we need to come to understand. And with that, I'm going to close. I'm going to open things up for the Q&A session now. So if you have a question, comment, please feel free to press *61, and *61 will get you into the queue. *61 will get you into the queue. But again, this is something that's vital to understand. It's vital to understand to all the saints because they can allow themselves to be placed upon tutors and governors like we've been going under or allowing ourselves to let sin reign in our mortal bodies, allowing ourselves to serve sin or serve man or allowing ourselves to not be led by the Spirit but led by this world, allowing ourselves to oppose our own selves, or we won't be able to endure sound doctrine. These are things we have to take a look at. Next week, we're going to go over the issue of Satan and plan against us. I'm going to go to the first caller first. 3366, you're in the queue. This is Teresa in the queue.
Yes, how are you doing, Pastor Ron?
Pretty good. How are you doing there, Sister Teresa? How you been?
Oh, great. Yourself? Yes, just learning about the teaching on what was it in chapter 1 Timothy chapter 3 that having a form of godliness, and it's having a form of godliness is to save people. But having a form of godliness never ever coming to the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
So they can be in a business and they can be justified and saved but never coming to the knowledge of the truth.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, they can allow themselves to be led by these people, led away, and ever learning because they're following suit and they're following what this man has for them. They're going to be learning. He's going to give them a learning system. You know, I see people all the time at my job. I'm going to Bible school. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. What are you learning? What's your courses of study? They give me all these courses of study, but none has anything to do with the Bible. You know, so again, you're going to be ever learning, but not able to come into the knowledge of the truth. But everyone thinks they have truth, though.
Mm-hmm. Right. Never come into the knowledge of the truth. Right. Never ever learn the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
Yes.
And when you look at look at verse 8. Well, verse 8 it says, now as Jabez withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning faith. They're resisting it based upon their own selves.
Right. And this is his doctrine of man. And 2 Timothy 2:4, that, as our gospel be healed, as our gospel be healed, it's healed those who's lost. And the God of war has a mask blinded, and that's Satan.
He has a mask blinded
of the truth. Correct?
That's exactly right. And that's what we're going to be going over next week. Next week we're going to be going over the why of Satan. We all know that Satan has a hand in trying to hinder our sanctification, but we're going to be going over why it's so vital that he's doing this. What is how important is it to him? Is it just that if it happens, it happens to him? Or does it actually meet an objective with him? And it does. It actually does something to his cause that he's able to do this. He's able to speak reproachfully about us, about the saints. I'm not talking about the ones out there, the so-called devil worshipers or the ones that are killing and stealing and things of that nature. He wants to speak reproachfully about me and you. That's what put a feather in his cap.
Right. And the scenario you say, he don't like us to pick up the Bible. He wants us to keep the Bible down. I mean, he can confuse us when we do pick up the Bible, because he don't want us to learn. So he can, try to confuse you if you pick up the Bible.
Right. He wants people to be as Romans 16:17 out there. He wants you to have men that are out there and they're preaching something contrary to the proof, to the truth. He wants men and women out there with the Bible in hand and preaching, but he wants them to be preaching something that's contrary to cause divisions, which we learned, because they're going to have fair words and good speeches to deceive people. But he wants you to teach a doctrine that's contrary to one that we've been established by.
Right.
Yeah.
Having a form of godliness, but denying, therefore, away. Right.
There you go.
And be hungry and thirsty for the word and don't be able to find it at the end.
That's right.
Oh, I appreciate your teaching.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling in, and I always appreciate your comments. And thanks for that nature. Thank you very much.
God bless.
I am. Right there. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I guess my other caller hung up. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to close here.